welcome back to A Little Too Quiet. We always appreciate you tuning in to the Ferndale Library Podcast. We are wrapping up our month-long mini-series on maintaining motivation. We have been talking to creatives in the area, visual artists, songwriters, and authors. Today, Doreen O'Brien will be joining us. She's a fiction writer and a teacher of creative writing at the College for Creative Studies. She recently released the short story collection, What It Might Feel Like to Hope, which recently won the Independent Publisher Book Award for short story fiction. Doreen actually joined us earlier in the summer when we started our virtual author showcase where we had local authors on our YouTube channel and our Facebook performing live readings on camera. And she did read a story from What It Might Feel Like to Hope. Along with being a short story writer, she is a published poet and essayist as well, and her writing style tends toward realism, and she is particularly interested in first-person fiction narratives. Doreen came with a lot of resources, actually, to share with us. She mentions a lot of articles. She provided links to us, which we then put into the show notes of this podcast. So if you go to the Ferndale Library's website, you'll be able to find the podcast show notes to see more of what we are talking about. But this is our wonderful conversation with Doreen O'Brien. I am excited to welcome to the podcast Doreen O'Brien. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me, and thanks to the Ferndale Library for hosting these terrific virtual events.
Yeah, and you and I were just talking before we got on this podcast about how this is going to be a very challenging winter. It's already been a very challenging year, and it could prove to be a very challenging year ahead, particularly for maintaining our motivation. And in our show notes, we're going to share a lot of resources that you already shared with me, which I found very fascinating. But I guess to begin with is one of the resources that you shared was how to stay creative when everything feels monotonous. And that study was really emphasizing how we might not be aware of how much stress is coming onto our bodies right now as creators. Can you talk about how the last 10 months have been for you and how you've worked through it and if you found any kind of way to work through it?
Excellent question. I had two big challenges in particular that I wanted to talk about. And the first one will be no surprise because I think it's a challenge everyone else has had. And that is, why is this important? Who has the time, the patience to read a novel I'm writing when we are battling a pandemic with no foreseeable cure? And certainly people had time. They were at home. They weren't commuting to work. They weren't picking kids up from school. But we are certainly, I think, too distracted to read a book or even to write a book for that matter. So any kind of pleasure, at least for me, pleasure itself was literally a guilty pleasure. You know, anxiety became the new normal, and anxiety kind of replaced my creativity. And I think that happened with a lot of artists. But the other big challenge was job-related. Like most teachers, I had to move my work to a virtual classroom very suddenly and with very little practical instruction from my institution. So teaching myself this new learning platform, translating all my courses on multiple courses online, left very little time because I was mentally tired, I was mentally foggy. And this introduced a whole new anxiety because my work and my students are very important to me, and I didn't want to shortchange anyone. But after investing all this time and effort, being constantly exhausted and anxious, I realized I was shortchanging myself. And I thought, how do I overcome this writing inertia? And literally, it's embarrassing as a writer to say, I didn't write for months. Because I thought, how is this important? How is my novel important in the face of all of this calamity? And so I finally got tired of the guilt of writing inertia, and I looked to other writers. I thought, what are they doing? How are they doing it? And I realized when I started researching online that even during a pandemic, writers were doing what writers do. They were reading, they were writing, they were connecting. And I thought, I had this epiphany. I can't do it alone. And this was really a hard realization for someone who is very personal, and I am aggressively self-reliant. Mm-hmm. But I thought, I'm floundering and I'm not getting anywhere, so I have to reach out. I need a community. So the first thing I did, I would not recommend to everyone, but it works for me. I contacted a friend and I asked her to bully me. I said, please send me a text every day with content like, put down the sandwich and pick up a pen, or give me 500 words right now, or are you being a loser today? And that, as I say, it's not for the faint of heart, but it works for me. But the next thing I did was I researched online courses, and I found that Gotham Writers in New York City was offering free mini online courses in various genres. So I took a poetry, I'm not a poet, but I took a poetry workshop because any writing is better than no writing. I'm largely a fiction writer, but I took a creative nonfiction workshop. And I did the work because I respect teachers too much not to do the work. So while I normally only work on my projects, these weren't normal times, and anything that got me writing was a good thing. So I took all the workshops that I could. And then I started looking at online listservs and databases for other things to keep me engaged. And I came across something that is so interesting, and it's called Telephone. That's an international arts experiment. And Telephone works like the children's game, where a chain of people whispers a word or a phrase into each other's ears, and by the end, the original has been altered. Well, the adult version of this game works in such a way as multiple artists working in various genres, musicians, photographers, writers, sculptors, illustrators, painters, submit work, and your work is then given to a random artist somewhere in all over the world to translate into a different medium.
Wow.
So I was given three photographs by an artist from Thailand, and I translated those into a short story. And in turn, I submitted a short story that will be translated into some medium by some artist somewhere in the world that I don't yet know. The project should be completed next year. And, you know, for those of you who are interested, I think they still might be looking for about 30 to 40 more artists. And I've given you the link. So kudos to Nathan Langston, who's put this together, because he has created a community of artists. He has connected us. And he has not only connected artists worldwide, but he has created this hybrid of genres so that when this is complete, there will be an online literal network where you can see the connections, the lines of the works, and then you can read them, you can listen to them, you can see them. And this is ongoing. So even if you don't get in on this round, this is the second iteration of Telephone, and I'm sure he'll continue to do this because it's been fascinating. You can go online and look at the first iteration and see how it works. But this has been one of the most interesting projects I've ever done, because I don't normally work with what I'll say strangers. I don't collaborate with people that I don't know. But without COVID, I wouldn't have found this, because I wouldn't have looked for this. I wouldn't have been seeking something to help me to generate inspiration. Mm-hmm. So Telephone was great. So when my writing muscles were finally primed and I felt I was back into a groove, I started setting challenges for myself. I'm going to write 2 pages of fiction at least every day and 1 poem. The fiction is my serious work, but the poem is mind play. Anything goes. Poetry with no stakes, because I'm not a poet. I'm not going to publish a book of poetry, so there's nothing to lose. It keeps your mind agile and inventive, and I found that that was feeding my fiction. So I finally got back to my novel, and I realized if I was struggling or if the novel was stalling, I would just engage a writing prompt. Random, but as long as the fingers were typing and the mind was engaged and I was writing, I was still in the game, and it was feeding my novel in a very unconscious way, as long as I kept writing. So there are many sites, I've shared some of them with you, that you can find online prompts. Think Written has uploaded, I think, 365. So there's a prompt for every day of the year. The isolation journals are great. If you sign up with them, this is all free. They will send you a writing prompt every Sunday. And so you can share them. You can collaborate with other people. You're not really writing on your own. You can upload them. People will comment on them. The other thing I did, everyone did this, right? We all started walking. After the pandemic hit, we all started walking. Literally in my neighborhood, I don't know what was going on in everyone else's. Very crowded neighborhood, lots of kids. But when I first started walking, I was literally the only person walking around. There were no cars. There were no other people. And I would walk around thinking, this is like post-apocalyptic. Like, I'm the last person in the world. I would imagine there's no one else left. And I realized now, retrospectively, I was kind of walking around like a zombie. I was imprinting my mindset onto my environment. After I started writing again, I thought, walk with purpose. Go out and let the environment imprint on you. Fill your mental files with smells and sounds and visions. And one of the first things I saw after I did that was two geese on the roofs of neighboring houses. One would squawk, the other would squawk back. They'd go back and forth. And I watched them for the longest time, and I thought, I've never seen such a thing. I don't know if this would have happened if there were tons of people and cars and kids. I wouldn't have heard them. I don't know. And then they would squawk together and like they were angry. And then they would stop and start talking again. And I thought, this is what I felt like my mind was reopened to wonder. So rather than the constant anxiety when I walked around and thought, this is so scary, I started thinking, it's not. It's where we are. Nature is showing me that nothing has changed. There, you know, the geese are having their argument. And so once I let that happen to me, I thought my whole mindset changed. And I think the mindset is the most important thing. You know, at the end of the day, it was my attitude. I think we have to get tired of inhabiting the constant place we are, whether that's fear or depression or anxiety, or for me, it was inertia. We can't live in the same emotional place for too long as human beings. Even if you are joyful or you're giddy, you can't stay there for too long. It's exhausting. And I got tired. Once you get tired of inhabiting that place, you have to do one thing. You know, maybe you have to convince a friend to bully you via text. I don't know. Maybe you have to pay $400 for an online writing workshop, because if we pay for something like that, we're not walking away from it. We're not investing in not. And, you know, Gotham has good ones. Masterclass has good ones. The Writer's Workshop has good ones. But you can go online and engage writing prompts for free. You can join. Those of you who are novelists, there's something called NaNoWriMo, which is the National Novel Writing Month. And even though it just passed in November, where you write a novel literally in 30 days, you can still sign up on their site and you upload your, you announce your project, and they have a tracking system. They have a setting goal system, and they have a way for you to talk with other novelists who are trying to jump the same hurdles you are. For those of you who are poets, National Poetry Month is coming up in August, and they've got a National Poetry Writing Month website as well. You write a poem a day for 30 days, and in a month, you've got a chapbook. So there are so many good online resources at your disposal, and it really wasn't until I started reaching out and looking to others for help, which is something I've never done before, but I found all of these. But at the end of the day, no matter what you're doing, whether you're sculpting, whether you're painting, whether you're writing, whether you're a photographer, whether you're an illustrator, you've got to literally do the work. You've got to get your butt in the seat, and you have to keep it there. Mm-hmm. Picasso said it much better than I could. He said, inspiration exists, but it has to find you working. And I found this to be absolutely true. People say to me, oh, I'm going to write the great American novel when the muse comes to me. And the muse does not come to you if you're not already working. Right. You have to be, the muse is your unconscious mind. If you're working, you have to work for a long time to knock that conscious mind, to knock that monkey mind, to knock that internal censor out of the way, for the unconscious mind to say, okay, now let's do this. That's what the muse is. But you have to be sitting there with what I call my students, I call it bum glue. You got to put glue on the, and some students are saying, can you spell that? And I'm like, no, don't write that down. This isn't notes. This is a joke, but it's serious. You've got to put the glue on your behind, and you've got to sit down, and you've got to stay there. And that's the only way you'll do it.
And you brought up something very important, I think, worth remembering, is that this is something that we would have said in general for just our daily existence, let alone our creative existence, but the phrase that you are not alone. And you've talked a lot here about establishing a network that can really become a community, that can really become nourishing in a way. I'll say that I did some creative writing over the summer, but someone else, a friend of mine, was also doing creative writing, and we would message each other with updates about it. And if I did not have that, I don't think I would have finished. So there was such a benefit in that and in getting feedback and in sharing our progress. But then there's also in the show notes, the report study by the Harvard Business Review would tout something that ties into something you wrapped up with. It was something about getting into a flow state with your creativity, which is very important, but you don't get there without patience. But maybe patience is something we've really learned this year. So, yeah.
I certainly have. I hope so. I think it's fascinating that of all places, it's the Harvard Business Review that has released this study on creativity and living in kind of a monotony. I think there's choice. I think we always have choice as humans, and choosing to reach out to others will make a difference. You don't have to reach out to others to be successful, though. You can choose to engage a prompt every day. You can choose to finish a novel in a month. You can choose to write a poem a day. And if you have the discipline and the determination, you can do that. But if you're struggling, as most of us are in these very anxious times, there are people that will help you to get there. And, you know, what you said, Jeff, about having a friend and you exchanged your work and you talked about it, that is crucial, because it's almost, I don't want to use the word responsibility, you know, with the capital R, but if there's someone relying on you for your input or relying on you to send them something they're looking forward to reading, there is a sense of responsibility to your community. If you're in a writer's group and you're not producing, then you feel guilty, because everyone breathes life into this collaboration, whether it's two people or whether it's 20 people. So that's the beauty of having each other. And that's something I think a lot of people learned or will learn if they haven't yet during COVID. We may be isolated. We may be alone in our homes. But we are so fortunate to have the internet, to have Zoom, to have each other. People that are going through the same thing we are, especially creators, especially writers, artists of various stripes, we have each other. The museums are opening many of their galleries online. This is a good way to feed your creativity, no matter what kind of artist you are. Looking at other art, listening to music you wouldn't otherwise listen to. You mentioned the DSO earlier. The DSO has been sharing wonderful content for free online. We have access to things we'd never have before. So I'm not saying that I'm happy we are isolated because of a rampant virus, of course. But we have to look, we have to let that, the positive imprint on us, instead of, like I said earlier, I kept imprinting my negativity and walking around, you know, in a post-apocalyptic world and feeling like a zombie. When you let these other resources and these other visuals and these sounds and these images imprint on you, they feed your creativity and at the very least distract you for a little while from the kind of nightmare we easily let ourselves fall into. I know many people aren't sleeping at night. We lay in bed at night and think, is my elderly parent going to get sick? Is my child going to be okay at school? And this is a hard, hard life. But we can't, like I say, live in that place constantly, because it's extremely destructive.
And I think the final point I wanted to bring up is that since you are in education, you're a teacher as well, I wonder if, when we think about whether we are in our work life or if we are students or if we are our creatives, I feel like our what we think our goals are maybe have shifted. When you're a student, you're goal oriented because you want to get an A. And that's maybe what's on your mind. When you're a creative and you're sitting down to write that novel, if you're goal oriented, you might want to say, I want to be published one day and go on a book tour and do book signings and be famous. But we've come into, kind of a sobering reality, and we are sitting there now saying, oh, well, who wants to read my book anyway? And I think our goals have to change. You might not get over that mountain to fame and 5,000 fans or what have you, but don't diminish the value of just working, even if it's just for yourself. That's all I have to say.
I think that you wrapped up very strong, because it's kind of a brilliant assessment. We do have to create what we create for the love of doing it. That has to be its own reward. I've found even pre-pandemic that writing to spec, like let's say there's a journal looking for stories about bears or stories about coffee, or when you try to write to spec rather than write what you're inspired to write, I don't think it's ever really as good unless it's fully commercial and there's, a template and a format. So I think that's still the case. If you write what you love and you're really invested and you're really enjoying the process, that's the writing that's successful. Mm-hmm. Trying to say, I want to write a bestseller, that's so much pressure. Mm. The people who say, I'm going to write the great American novel, I can count the number of novels they've written for you, and because it's an easy calculation, and it's zero. Because when you put yourself under that kind of pressure to attain fame, fortune, and it's not going to happen. So I love that you said pretty much the work itself is its own reward.
Doreen O'Brien, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeff.
And that was Doreen O'Brien, local author, teacher of creative writing, with a lot of great thoughts to share on how we can stay motivated heading into 2021. And if you want to see Doreen performing a story, you can just get over to the Ferndale Library's YouTube page, which we will have in the show notes. You can also find more at DoreenO'Brien.com. Her short story collection, What It Might Feel Like to Hope, was released in 2019. And this is the Ferndale Library Podcast. It is brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. My name is Jeff Milo, and I am the host of this podcast. We produce it right here inside the Ferndale Library. And if you want to support this podcast, you could rate, review, or subscribe. You could tell a friend, let them know that they can find A Little Too Quiet wherever they are already getting their podcasts. And if they love libraries, and they love reading, and they love conversations about art and the creative process, maybe let them know about this miniseries. We appreciate you listening.